We got a full crew tonight here. Excellent. So, who are we going to start with tonight? There are nine. Wow. Nine slots on the open mic tonight. Way to go, guys. Way to go. We're going to start out with Dean Hazleton. Come on up.
Wow, what a big crowd. This is really great. Bear with me a second. This is called Dreamers. Who dreams on a dark summer night? The new moon dreams of a bright October night, shining full on a golden harvest, sun's rival, not its mirror. A young man by a campfire sits dreaming of his future, singing to a girl he thinks thousands will come to hear my songs. A dozen ragged moths flutter about his flame. What dreams inspire the Luna, escaping the dark of his cocoon for night? Fierce instincts drive him to find a mate before the new moon waxes full and he will die. He spreads his long green wings and flies into the night. The full moon dreams of a dark and luminous night when a river of glowing stars flows through the sky. And as the brightest star, he leads the way. An old man on a summer night sits dreaming of a distant moonlit eve, when he sang his songs to his love that only he remembers. He smiles as he mouths the word. A green Luna, drawn to his candle, lights on his sleeve. Who dreams on a dark summer night? Whose heart does hope control?
Thank you.
I don't know why, but I never start with the rules of the open mic when we start the open mic. So just to go over the rules again, 2 pages max, that's what you get. So Jeanette Schaefer, the eyes of the world are upon you. Come on up, Jeanette.
Well, then I'm glad I wore a pink dress. Okay. I have 2 poems here. One I was going to read last week if I had made it for the Stonewall Poets. It's called The Girl in the Photo. Inside the picture of my kindergarten class, above my mother's fireplace, is a yellow-haired girl named Shannon. I couldn't help but tell her she was beautiful. Her blonde hair cascaded into her eyes, reached the frame of her tortoiseshell glasses. Miss Lynn, our teacher, pinched the back of my arm, told me little girls didn't say such things to other little girls. Every day it was the same. It fell from my mouth like a waterfall. Shannon, you are beautiful. Shannon, I love you. Beautiful Shannon. She would giggle, round cheeks flushed, push the 2 large frames up her nose, and I would sing her name like a coyote. Shannon, Shannon. And she was the first girl I adored. I bore like a martyr Miss Lynn's abuse of my tender young flesh. Oh, my lips could not keep silent. Oh, to be so sure again, to suffer bruise and welt and pain for want of love. This next poem I usually read with a trigger warning. It's called Writers. The first time I sat on his lap was to color in my Santa fun book at the family's Christmas. I never stayed inside the lines, threw my whole body into the art, jumped up towards the table, pelvis suspended, elbows braced, then plopped back down onto his legs. I curled my knees under my calves, heels chalked open on either side of his thighs. He cupped my 7-year-old hips in his palms, guided my movements in a way that I was too young to understand. Did I feel a muzzle, a graze in that moment of the shadow horse to come? I knew nothing of stampedes. His hand slid over my bottom, fingers waggled. Do you like this? I shrugged, said, it tickles. Lips brushed my ear as he whispered, I'm glad you like it. This will be our secret. His jockey charged forward, knew of the long ride ahead for both of us. I entered a race unknowingly, a foal on weak legs, led to pandemonium.
All right. Next up, we have the Fred and Ginger of the Pittsburgh poetry scene. We're going to start with the Ginger. Judy Bryce, come on up here.
Hello, all. So I'm going to read a poem that I'd like to dedicate to a deceased friend of ours named Bea Friedeberg. And I sent this poem to her when she already knew she was on a very downhill course from cancer. And she said she held on to it and just kept coming back to it. So it's in memory of her. Green bananas. Don't buy them. Not yet. Not when you smell the brine and limbo lapping the shore. The cold waves flapping, reminding you of your past. Those sins haunting at the door. Don't buy them. Slip out. Turn, then go. Beyond the path, down the road. Look straight and forever. Don't. For a second, glance back. Just listen. Watch the line of rocks, the frozen zone of past. Then look for clovers, four-leafed, among the dandelions, their weeds, the seeds that puff and float into mellowed dreams of lazing sky. There, just there, after you see one lone deer, its antlers scooping branches as it grazes velvet field of grasses. Take the hard turn at the fence and you'll be on your way. Your days, your fruit will quickly ripen gold. Thank you.
And now we have the Fred. Charlie Bryce is going to come up here. He has a new book coming out. Charlie, you've got a book coming out. The launch is July 11th at White Whale Bookstore, so check that out. Charlie.
I'll be serenading. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. This is called Last Laugh. She stood at the end of her brother's hospital bed. I'm not going to take care of you any longer, Tom, she said. When you're discharged tomorrow, you're going to a halfway house. She squeezed a tissue in her hand until it flattened like a flower pressed in a Bible, dabbed her eyes and turned to leave, her bunting blue overcoat worn on that frosty January evening, a curtain closed on years of sacrifice. He'd been ill since childhood. His spinster sister had given him her life, and now our hospital midwifed this kind woman's rebirth at 55. Tom, who we orderlies at Denver General called Mr. Johnson, took his sister's averment in silence. When I brought his dinner tray, he nodded in receipt, never meeting my eyes. Next morning, I took Mr. Johnson's breakfast to his bed and found him dead. We called a Core Zero, stretched an Ambu bag over his mouth and pounded on his chest, but he was long gone. It fell to Michelle, the charge nurse, and me to take him to the morgue. His body lay on the gurney between us. One last bell to answer, we softly sang. One last man to clean up after. And this poem is tiny. And I'm sorry Don left because I channeled Don to write this poem, Don Wentworth. So I'm going to try to do it like he would. The truth about worry. After 11 p.m., no one's up. Nothing's open. Go to sleep.
I'd say that was Wentworthy. That was very nice. Next up, another regular at the open mic, Mark Seppe. Come on up, Mark.
Thank you. I'm sorry if I'm taking anybody's spot for being a regular. I wish we could read three, because I really want to read a Louise Glick poem, but I really want to read two of my own. So I'll read one with the density of a Louise Glick poem. And I've been in the habit of writing multi-part poems, mainly because I'm interested in somehow trying to negotiate like two disparate parts into one poem. Space-time. So this is called Grown Backwards, and I won't do the 1-2 thing. I'll just leave an awkward silence. Grown backwards. Return, please. Please go. Back into the earth. Back to roots you've anchored. We need no reminder of absence here. There are years spent waiting for, or have been enduring for, and after, though now, it is the shock of it all. A week is cold, and then it's not. A touch replaces touch. A body warms inside the air. Beyond this, quiet patience. Beyond this, anticipation. There is enough of that. Assume life lives inside these colors, expecting secrets from a bud. Who is it that reinvents a mirror as the kitchen window and watches before a space made empty? Today, we answer more than. Yesterday, we answer less of. Tomorrow, we answer one too many. And this is called Gin Rummy, and it's for Peter, 1926 to 2019. You don't live now, finally. There are many sad things in this world, but we are happy for you. All our prayers deserve an answer, don't they? With my eyes closed, it is a loop. It is you who from the pile pulls a card and pushing it halfway into your hand, you let your elbow do the rest and laugh. I gave you this, and that is how I know the game is over. That is how I know this works, a memory. That is how I know this happens next. It is a loop. It is rewind. You pull the card and pull again. Have trust in this. Our lives were not made to be contained or held. Say more, and let our words be only air that lingers in the places you once were and nothing else. The dead don't listen the way you think they listen. We should know this already. Thank you.
He's back there. Okay, next up we've got Paul, who always signs his name with a pentagram. Hail Satan, brother. Get up here and read.
Twelve lines, one title, three, four line things. Title, Prime Troth. A touche A royal deathless legion. Coil the worlds and be counterclockwise. Resurrect in an archaic tonnage. Sovereign, commutable, engraving. There in art fret gaff, dug avarice caleet. At this parcel, but 1 cent is upwind. It hid from gray to catalog a pet until the last drum roll beat criticism. Be mindful, it's triage, body shame here. People watch and grade a neutral corpse. 5 pound face fold is an underdog tonight. Stiff competition can neat tuck in sock.
Okay, next up we've got poet, critic, and all-around bon vivant, Stuart Shepherd.
And humanitarian, thank you. Be counterclockwise is my new mantra. Thank you for that. And I just want to say one other thing regarding the number thing in poems. I was in New York City a couple decades ago in a workshop with J.D. McClatchy, and there were huge arguments over whether you should say the one and the two or not. And there was a period of time in those poetry circles where it was verboten. So thank you for that, reminding me of that. Luckily, I don't write those poems, so I just don't want to get into that debate. And by the way, great job tonight. It was phenomenal poetry. Thank you to everyone and to the organizers as well. Here's a poem I've been working on and want to thank the workshop in Brentwood for helping with that. I've revised based on some comments last night. And I said to Alyssa, I'd read mine if she read hers, so that's why I'm here. Someone got that. Not everyone will love you. You locked your baby in the closet. He floated in darkness for 3 days. Is there something in the dark that sustains us? The way Raphael could make pillows of stones and float them in the sky? When you eat, you always hide the scraps. When you drink, you bury the bottle. You dig graves for yourself, like a rich soul trying to get into heaven. There is another baby somewhere inside you. You think it's sleeping the way it always has. But now it's starting to cry. What will happen when it learns to speak, to sing? Will you strangle the song day after day after day? Thanks.
Apparently last night's poetry exchange meeting inspired a lot of revision. That's cool. So let me know if I don't pronounce your last name right. Alyssa Sanini? Sineni. Alyssa Sineni.
Hello, this is called Sharp Edges. The teacher asks the little boy to read the selection. It is on the great sloths of the Pliocene period, or maybe it was describing the hollow nature of bird bones. His eyes answer silently, defensive and tough. I am the teacher. Wait, no, I am the child. I realize this boy will not hear me. He will not register kindness. He is in a dream built of bruised hurt and loneliness.
This was our childhood. We were all left to scavenge the woods, to leap into cold, deep waters, fresh from the ledge of rocky cliffs. I am the teacher. Wait, no, I am the child. The edges are sharp of remembering. Holding that map will cut you on the way to the truth. With my eyes, I respond, I see you. This is the offer. Move forward. Don't look back.
So thanks again, everybody, for coming out tonight, sticking around for the open mic, joining in the open mic. We have the open mic every week. Please continue to sign up. Our last reader tonight will be Gio Nikolov. Gio.
Sorry, just give me 1 second, because this was a low-budget book. It doesn't even have a table of contents, so... I guess so. Except it was kind of a real book, but it just was low-budget. Let's see here. Sorry. I mean, I think it's a real book. I mean, it feels like a real book. Let me see here. So I'm looking for this specific poem.
We can all just do a song while we wait.
Sounds good. Let's see. Let's hear it. Somewhere here. Sorry about that. Sorry. I'm just trying to find this room. Yeah. It's an idea. So the poem is called Bermud, but I'm just trying to find it here. All right. This is not the one I was looking for, but I'm sorry, what? Sounds good. So yeah, this is a poem that I wrote when my dad came to visit me in Malaga. This poem is called Monastic Wine. My dad came from Bulgaria. He visited me from in Malaga. So my father brought me wine from a monastery in a bottle for sour cherry juice. I shake the last drops into the Mediterranean, a libation to Poseidon. They separate into violet and burgundy. And then this last poem is just very short. I needed a poem to finish off the book. And then one morning I was just on my bike riding around, looked up at the Arab fortress or the Al-Kathaba. And then this occurred to me. So I'm going to read it in Spanish. Rayos tempranos de luz iluminan una torre en el este de la Al-Kathaba. Todos los castillos son de arena. And that's it. Thank you.